We're in the book of Revelation, chapter 8, verse 1. We're going to look at a verse here beforehand. I'm going to give you a little bit of an idea of how beautiful the Greek language is. Because some of you heard this before. I don't think you're a guitar player. Maybe you're going to want one. You're a guitar player? But many times now, I thought it's beautiful. And I'm going to show you just a little bit about the language, how definite the Greek language is. And it's something that you need, because we see Jehovah's Witnesses come to you all the time. We have Mormons that believe and everybody's a God if they want to be. And, of course, the Jehovah's Witnesses are Russellites, whatever you want to call them. They don't believe that Jesus was Christ or that he was God at all, but his name was. And I'm going to quote to you up here right on the board, John 1:1. Just bear with me in a minute.
You misspelled the word.
I did? Yeah, it's obvious.
Yeah, everybody saw it.
But Jim, doesn't the Russian language come from the Greek?
Yes, it does. If you will look at Russian newspapers and stuff, things, and it's so much like this. This is John 1:1. We're going to just take this verse apart. I'm going to show you how beautiful the Greek language is. It's NRKA logos, typo logos, anchorosome, theon, typo logos, and theos. That's it. Okay? That's how you say it in Greek. So let's go back and just tear it apart. Okay? In, that's a little preposition. And we translate it in just like our English one. That's exactly where our English word in came from. Okay? If you want to, you can look on page 137 and ask him. Benjamin Davidson's Analytical Lexicon, and you'll find it there. Tell you all about it, okay? In beginning, all right? Arcade. The word arcade in English comes from this word. In the absolute extremity of time, all right? In beginning. In beginning. That's locative, singular, and feminine, that word is. And then we have a little word here that's hard to translate as ain. And how should that word be translated, Brother Ken?
Kept on being.
Kept on being. In beginning, he kept on being. Okay, that's third person singular, imperfect, indicative, and active. That comes from painting. Okay, ho logos. Ho is a definite article in Greek. Okay, how many kind of articles are there in Greek?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's eight cases. You got it right. All right, and there's three definite articles. Ho, which is masculine, a, feminine, to, neuter. Masculine, feminine, neuter. All right, this one here is nominative, the case of the subject, singular, and masculine. That's what that the is. Okay, and a the is like a pointer. It's like an index, a great big sign pointing. Look. Pay attention. When they put a definite article in Greek, it is extremely like an explosion. Bam! Pay attention now. This is very important. That's what that definite article is, and it's the, okay? And then we have the word logos. Now, so many of your lexicons and everything translate the idea of the logos as the original Greek idea of the original author of everything. But that's not what John's writing about here. It's not the Greek idea, but the Hebrew idea of the word. In the Old Testament, when they came across the word Jehovah, they would not use a pen that they had been writing the rest of the words with. They'd pick up a special pen, they would write this word. They would never speak it. They would say this word, the word. They refer to that word as the word, okay? Jehovah, the name Jehovah was the unspoken name, the name too holy to be spoken. We say the word Jehovah today is nothing to it. But But that is a very holy, that is the name of God. And we really don't know how to say it at all, because they couldn't speak it. It's not pointed, the Hebrew word or anything else. It's just referred to as the Word, or the Eternal One, the one that kept on being, the Eternal God, the Everlasting One. All right? And that's the word, Word. And to translate that correctly into English, you would have to say John is writing about the idea of the word Jehovah. Okay? All right. In beginning, kept on being eternally. Jesus, when he was talking to Moses, unless he was talking to Moses with Jehovah God, when he was talking to Moses, Moses says, "Who shall I say sent me?" And what did he say? "Say that I am sent you, the Everlasting One." The Everlasting One. See, the word there is pain. All right? That was the word pain there. He kept on being. He was the Everlasting One. The one that didn't have a beginning, the one that doesn't have an end. How long did God exist? Forever. And we don't even, can't even, we have no idea what forever is. All right. In beginning kept on being the Jehovah. This is before anything was made. Before any blueprints were laid out of how God was going to create the heavens here. God was there. The absolute extremity. Then we have this little conjunction here. Tie. And that means end. If you want to look on page 203 in the analytical lexicon, you can find that one too. Then we have, I didn't memorize page numbers on that thing. Because I've written them down so many times. And then it says, ho logos, ein proson theon. Ho logos, again, what is that now? That's the definite article. That's the. And it's pointing out, it's like clapping our hands saying, pay attention now. The word, the Jehovah, what does the word Jehovah mean? He who shall become. The becoming one. The one who shall become. And the Jehovah, what happened here now, this aim again, third person singular, imperfect, indicative, active. All right, the perfect tense. He kept on being. Pros. Pros. That means sworn. War. A little preposition again. Page 346. Toward the. Now look at this. Here's a preposition. What is this case here? Nominative singular masculine. Nominative singular masculine. And every time a conjunction is put in here, the sentence, Greek sentences, there's run on and on and on and on. Okay? It's tied together with conjunctions. And the word, the subject again, the Jehovah, kept on being toward the God. Jehovah and God could never be separated, basically. Jehovah was God. God was Jehovah. And this is accusative singular masculine, definite article, and it's the. And then theon, accusative singular masculine, word for God. Okay? God. And I believe the idea here that John's writing about is Elohim. Elohim, God, the triune God. He always was part of the Godhead. Jesus never ceased being God when he became flesh. He was God and man both. Okay? And then we have and again, the little conjunction. And then, what do we have here? Whole logos. The Word, or the Jehovah. What case is this now? Omicron Sigma and that whole up here. That's the case of the subject again. Nominee, singular, and masculine. All right. Nominee, singular, masculine. And then we have a linking verb. And this little linking verb here is just like an equal sign in math. This over here is the same as this one over here. Now look at the end of this word. What is that? Nominee, singular, masculine. In other words, this subject here is the same as this subject here. The subject and the object are the one and the same. That's what you call a predicate nominative. Okay? It is beautiful. Jesus is Jehovah God. He is the eternal one. When John wrote the Gospel according to John, he did it for one reason. There were already three Gospels written. That God impressed upon his heart, he told his disciple Polycarp, that he wanted to write a book that absolutely did away with all doubt that Jesus was absolute deity, that God had come to dwell in human flesh. He was the kinsman redeemer. He was our redeemer. He was Jehovah God in the flesh. This one over here and this one here are one and the same person. Now, Jehovah's Witness is going to translate this. The word was a God. There's a problem with that. This right over here, the word here is the same as this right over here. And there's no such thing as an indefinite article in Greek. There's no A's and no ands in Greek. Anytime you see in your Bible where it says a person or a this or a that or and this, an angel or whatever, it's not talking. It's not in Greek. That's somebody's idea of it. But that's not what's in Greek. And in Greek, in this syntax, in this sentence right here, the word kept on being the God. You can put home right in front of this and not do any violence to the scriptures at all, because they just left out the "the." Because this "the," this person, and that person are one and the same person. I can go sit down right here in this chair, like this, draw an equal sign right there. Here I am up here. I'm the same person. And that's exactly what it says right there. It just moves him from here to here. This is one and the same person. This person is equal to that person. Predicate, nominative. Grammatically, you can't get around it. And Greek is a beautiful, perfect, grammatically perfect language. Now, with this one verse only, you could whip every Jehovah's Witness's theology that ever walked the face of this earth. But there is a spirit of demons that's working with them. You know that. To lead them off into the error that they have been led off into. But that verse right there takes care of it, and that is how perfect the Greek language is. There is nothing left to your imagination there, sir. The Greek totally explained everything. There's nothing left. do you have any questions on that one? We'll get into the book of Revelation then. Now, the book of Revelation, the verses are just like this, all of us. This is beautiful as this is right here. Revelation 8 and verse 1. We're going to read this together, and then we'll translate it. Tai.
Tai.
Photon.
Photon.
And Noixon.
Noixon.
Tain.
Tain.
Bogista.
Bogista.
Tain.
Tain.
Abdomain.
Abdomain.
Agenito.
Agenito.
Sigeth.
Sigeth.
And.
And.
Co.
Co.
Urano.
Urano.
Pulse.
Pulse.
Hemi. Hemiorom.
Hemiorom.
And, see that word "and" there again, that tie? There it is. Put that one up on page 208 still. And when he opened up the seal. Alright? He opened up the seal. By the way, this word "seal" here, this is a... Remember, this is a scroll that he's opened up in the seals. And someplace I have a little handout that I've given to you in the past, that I drew a diagram on the seals and the vials and everything that's worn out. I don't couldn't find any today. I know I have them. But with the rain and all the other things that happened, I couldn't get to them, but I will get those to you. And you can kind of get an idea of the seals when they're open and everything. But this seal is sealed by a king. And no one that is not an heir is not worthy to open it up. Who was the heir? Remember, it was like a last will and testament. Only the conservator and the air could open the seal. And that's what it's talking about here. It's that kind of seal. This is an official seal. And he opened up the official seal, the seventh, and it became silence in the heaven about a half hour. Dead calm. Dead calm. I told you here a while back, some of you haven't heard the story. I used to live up in the state of Nevada, up by Bishop, way out there 100 miles from Bishop, out in the middle of nowhere. And I really liked that country up there. It was kind of wild Mustangs up there when I was a kid. We used to catch those and make cow horses out of and gather up range cattle and things off of the mountains. But there's hardly any people up there because the country is so rough. It's violent. But sometimes when the wind is not blowing and everything, you can sit out there and you can literally listen to an ant walking. That's true. These little ants are about this wall, and you can literally hear them walking on the ground as they kick the little gravel and stuff, and they'll pick up gravel and everything. It's so quiet, you can hear your blood rushing in your eardrums and in your ears. You can hear your heart beating. My son Gary came up there one time, and took his little .22 rifle out. He was going to go walking, and went up in the canyon up there, and he sat down up there, and he said, "Dad, he came back, and he was quiet. He was scared." I said, "What's on? What happened?" I said, "You see some one of the lions trying to get you or something?" He said, "No, Dad. He's too quiet." He said, "It's too quiet. It scared me. All of a sudden, I just felt like I was just claustrophobic with it quiet. It was just so quiet. It scared me. I could hear my breath running in my lungs and out of my lungs and I could hear the blood rushing through my ears. The ants walking. And all this, you know, every blade of grass that moved, you could hear it. It's quiet like that here. Nothing's moving. Fear is over the whole earth and heaven. You know, I've got a real smart pig. How many of you seen Wilbur? Oh, she's a character, isn't she, Ken?
Oh, yeah.
She's smart. Pigs are about five times more intelligent than a dog. Matter of fact, they say intelligently that the only thing smarter than them is a dolphin, a whale, and a monkey. And they're way up there. Or horses or anything. Wilbur gets out there and she can smell anything when you come. And when somebody comes from the house, if she's out there in her pen, if I'm out there doing something like this, Wilbur will hold her breath. And you'll hear her, see her little eyes go around like that, and she's listening. And I mean, Marilyn can walk out the back door of the house, and that pig starts listening for her. 3 or 4 minutes later, here comes Marilyn. But that pig heard her. She just stops breathing. Because any of that would stop her from hearing as well. And if you listen sometimes, if you listen for something, you'll stop breathing. The whole world is scared to death at this silence for 1.5 hour. The whole world is panicking in silence for 1.5 hour. Panic! Silent panic. There was a movie one time, I think, I remember hearing about it, Dead Calm. It was a scary movie or something, what they call a thriller. But this is going to be a real scary silence in heaven. Scary, frightening, viciously scary. Silence. And then it says Kai.
Kai.
Adon.
Adon.
Tus.
Tus.
Hepta.
Hepta.
Angelus.
Angelus.
Hoi.
Hoi.
Enochion.
Enochion.
Tu.
Tu.
Theu.
Theu.
Este Kossen.
Este Kossen.
Kai.
Kai.
Endothason.
Endothason.
Altois.
Altois.
Hepta,
Hepta,
Saltiges.
Saltiges.
Then it says here, and I saw the seven angels, the ones down right straight before in the presence of God. Now, you're right down here in front of me, aren't you? Right down here in front of me. That's the way the angels are in the presence of God. You know, he only means right down in front of, right in the presence of. You can feel the breath of another person in that close proximity is what it's talking about. Right down in the immediate presence of the God. And they have stood, and they were given to them seven trumpets or bugles. All right? These seven angels had seven trumpets that were given to them. What's a trumpet for?
Like a signal or sound. Or...
All right. To war, to retreat. And why do they use bugles to do this?
They're loud.
You can hear it for a long distance. You know how far these bugles are going to be heard? Throughout the universe. I mean, from one extremity of the universe to the other, that's how far these bugles are going to be heard. And their voices is what they are. The voices of the angels. Okay? Eight in verse 3. Kai.
Kai.
Halos.
Halos.
Angelos.
Angelos.
Eichen.
Eichen.
Kai.
Kai.
Estape.
Estape.
Epi.
Epi.
Tu.
Tu.
Diastereo.
Diastereo.
Echo.
Echo.
Levaton.
Levaton.
Rousseau.
Nisun.
Kai.
Kai.
Edope.
Edope.
Alto.
Alto.
Thiamiamata.
Thiamiamata.
Polo.
Polo.
Hina.
Hina.
Dose.
Dose.
Face.
Face.
Prosuchase.
Prosuchase.
Tone.
Tone.
Hagion.
Hagion.
Ponton.
Ponton.
Epi.
Epi.
Toe.
Toe.
Diasterion.
Diasterion.
Toe.
Toe.
Crisone.
Crisone.
Toe.
Toe.
Enopion.
Enopion.
Tu.
Tu.
Fronu.
Fronu.
And another angel, a different angel, another angel. He came. And he was called to stand upon the altar, the sacrificial altar. That's what it's talking about. He's going to stand upon this altar, having a censer of gold. And it was given to him incense as many, in order that he should give, or he shall give with the prayers of the saints and of all upon the sacrificial altar to the golden altar, the one in the presence of the throne. Let's go back in history now. Go back in history. What more is it talking about here? Remember when Moses went to Mount Sinai? On Sunday morning, I'm teaching about this very thing. When Moses went up on Mount Sinai, he saw something in heaven. And God said, go down and make one just like it. Remember what it was?
Tabernacle.
The tabernacle. Okay? The tabernacle typified Christ's work throughout all the age that we're living in today. That tabernacle typified the work of Christ throughout the age that we live in today. Now, Solomon built another temple, and that typified the work of Jesus Christ in the millennial reign, in the glory age. Not only does this typify the work of Christ, but it typifies the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, too. And we said we're bound up in the seven churches of Asia earlier in the history of what would happen to the seven churches. Anyway, God told Moses to make what he saw. And what he saw here, he saw a white fence with a gate in the front of it. Okay? And inside this gate was an altar. Inside this gate. They'd walk in here like this, inside this gate, and there was a sacrificial altar, and then a laver, and then here was a tent, a square-looking tent. And in here was two rooms in it. This was the holy place, and this was the holy of holies, right there. Now, when you came up here to this, the first thing you saw was a sacrificial altar, and that's where people would go, and they would take a sacrifice, they kill it, they sprinkle the blood on the altar. Okay? And the altar was made out of something that typified judgment. What was that altar made out of?
Stone.
Brass. Brass, which is good. Brass, okay? This was made out of brass. But the altar in heaven is not made out of brass. It's made out of pure gold. This is the golden altar, all right? The golden sacrificial altar, because it's divine. That's where divine blood is spread on that one. All these typify what was going to happen, what Jesus Christ someday was going to do in heaven. He was going to take his blood for all the sins of all mankind and sprinkle it on that altar. His blood.
What is the Ark of the Covenant? Gold?
Yep. The Ark of the Covenant in here was, it was made out of wood, and wood typified what?
Humanity.
The humanity of Jesus Christ. But it was covered, overlaid with pure gold. Mm-hmm. All right. It was overlaid with pure gold. Jesus Christ was human in the flesh, John 1:14. It says, and the word flesh became. The same word we read here a minute ago again. It's called the word flesh, he became. All right. The Jehovah became flesh. He became human so he could redeem us back to God. Because Adam lost it. He lost the everyone in the human race. Was going to come under the judgment of God because of the sin of Adam. All right? Well, this brass here that Moses and his artisans made was a picture of the golden altar in heaven. And that's the altar here that we're talking about. And it says having a golden censer, okay? A golden censer that was given to him, incense as many. Now, what is this talking about here? What's this angel doing? Who do you think he is? Jesus. The angel of Jehovah. The messenger. Wasn't he the messenger of Jehovah that came to the earth? The angel of Jehovah. Is this the same Jehovah that walked in the garden with Adam? The same Jehovah that appeared to Abraham? The same one that appeared to Moses on the mountain? The same Jehovah that John and Peter saw on the Mount of Transfiguration? That was the glorified Jehovah, God of the heavens. Well, what is he doing here? He's making intercession. You know what? When you pray, how do you end your prayers?
In Jesus'
name. You know why? Because exactly what he's doing right here, he gets your prayers to heaven. He is our intercessor. By his blood, our prayers can go to heaven. And that's what it's talking about here. The prayers of the saints are conveyed to heaven because of what Jesus Christ did. Okay? Now in the presence of the throne, the divine throne of God. And the 8th verse 4. Have you found in your... Do you have one of these texts?
I'm using
one. Oh, I'll give you another
one. Okay. No, this one's actually mine. I'm sorry.
Here's another. That's you get it for free. All right? Have each one of you have one. 8 and verse 5 now. Here we have a scene of judgment.
4, Brother Jim.
8 and verse 4? Okay. 8 verse 4. Ty?
Ty.
Anabe?
Anabe.
Cole?
Cole.
Kopnos?
Kopnos.
Tone?
Tone.
Themia Matone?
Themia Matone.
Face?
Case.
Prosuchase.
Prosuchase.
Tone.
Tone.
Hagion.
Hagion.
Ek.
Ek.
Keros.
Keros.
Tu.
Tu.
Angelou.
Angelou.
Enochion.
Enochion.
Tu. Thiu.
Thiu.
Then it says, and went up the smoke. What kind of smoke is this? What's this typifying? This is figurative language. It's typifying something.
Prayers?
What? Prayers. All right. The smoke. Now the altar, when they sprinkled the blood on here and they burned the sacrifices, the smoke went up to heaven, ascended to God. This is like our prayers. This is like Jesus' prayer right here. Carrying our prayers into heaven because of the sacrifice we made. Alright? And then here was a laver where all the priests, before the first time that they went in to serve, they had to be immersed. baptized, okay? Remember what the word baptism is? It means immersed. It wasn't John the Baptist, it was John the Dipper. That's what he did. He dipped people. The word baptized, when the Catholic, or not the Catholic Church, but when the Church of England translated the King James Version of the Bible, they came across this word here, baptizo. They had a problem with it. Because it means immerse. It, the Latin equivalent of this is mergio. And our word comes right out of Latin, which means immerse. That's the only thing that this word means. Okay? Now, how many different ways do people baptize today?
Oh, all kinds.
Sprinkling.
Sprinkling? All right, sprinkling. There's a word in Greek for sprinkling. That's not that word. That's Ron Tizo. All right? What else they do with the baptizing?
Pour.
All right, there's a word in Greek for that. Nikko. That means pour. Pour out. If baptism was sprinkling or pouring, it would have been, if it was pouring, it would have been nipto. If it was sprinkling, it would have been ron tizo. And the word ron tizo is how they sprinkle the blood on the altar. Okay? This word is baptizo. That one means to immerse. All right? Immerse. The first time the priest was brought in here, he had to be totally immersed in this. From then on, when he went in to serve in here, he had to wash his hands and feet. All right? As the church, the tabernacle typifies something.
Brother, but didn't he sacrifice an animal for his sin before he went in there?
Yes, he had to have a sacrifice also before he could go in. It says in the book of Hebrews, it says Jesus Christ is our high priest forever after order of Melchizedek. Okay? And it says one time, once and for all, he made a sacrifice of sin, which was the last sacrifice. Okay? That was the last sacrifice. Well, the priest would come in, they'd make the sacrifice for their sins, then they'd go in and take the blood of the offering on the day of Yom Kippur, which means the Day of Atonement. They'd go into the holy place. Over here there was a table, and over here there was a lampstand. And right in here there was also an altar of incense and here in this thing. Now, as you look at the book of Revelation, it's a very Hebrew book because it's talking about Hebrew people most of the time through it. The reason for the tribulation period upon this earth is to bring Israel back to God and back into covenant relationship. Right now, they're outside of covenant relationship with God. God set them aside. They killed their king when he came to them. They killed the Messiah. They murdered him. And when they did, that's when his blood was shed for all mankind, too. But God said he would set them aside. And here at the end of time, we find out that God was going to disperse Israel. You know, Jesus looked over there at the city of Jerusalem and said, "Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, how many times I would have clucked for you like a mother hen does a little baby chicken. And I wanted you to come, but you didn't want to. You didn't want to." He said, "Not many days from now," he said, "there won't be one stone left upon another stone in that city." And it was totally destroyed. It was completely leveled. Completely leveled because they wouldn't come to the Messiah. They were dispersed, and then God said in the end times, at the end of the church age that we live in today, that he would start regathering Israel back again, and the purpose of it is that for 1,000 years, that Israel will bring glory to God because they're going to be the administrators of his kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years while his bride is with him in heaven in New Jerusalem. All right? And this all typified that, this thing. The priest came in here, the table of showbread, the light that was that he could see to work by, the candlestick, and the altar of incense, and then here was the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark. What is an Ark, anyway?
A
What is an ark? It's a box, isn't it? Because it's a box. We studied the other morning how big the box was. It wasn't very big, but it had some things in there. It had Aaron's rod. It had the tablets of stone, the commandments on them. Had some manna. All right, what's manna mean?
What is it?
They didn't know what it was, so they called it, what is it? That's what manna means, what is it? All right, that's it. What is it? What is it was in there? All right, all these things were in this Ark of the Covenant. The box was made out of wood. It was covered with pure gold. The covenant, the law of God, was in there. And nobody can look upon the law of God without the blood of Jesus Christ, or you're dead. And then it had a mercy seat. That's a kafar in Hebrew. And in Greek is telosterion. Same word. 1 John 2 says Jesus Christ was our telosterion. He was our mercy seat. He is our covering. Okay? He is our mercy seat. That's this mercy seat right here for the angels of the covenant. By two or three witnesses, the Bible says, and the law of Moses, let everything be established. What do you think these two angels are there for? To witness everything that happens here at the mercy seat. You can be out there in the middle of nowhere when the Lord saves your soul, and guess what? You've got witnesses. That's what that typifies, the witnesses. The witnesses of the covenant. It's beautiful. The Word of God is beautiful. Every little detail of God's Word is beautiful. Let's go a little further. Now we can understand what we're seeing here. And it went up the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints. Now here, right here is where the incense went up at the altar of incense, right here. With the prayers of the saints out of the hand of the angel in the presence of God. Boy, look at that. Out of the hand of the angel. God's Son is carrying your prayers to God. That's our conveyor. He is our mediator. You know, there aren't very many good lawyers in the world. Matter of fact, I'm going to have to put up and burn many of them. Yeah, at all. But we've got one good one. One good advocate. That was, don't we? We got one good lawyer. Even Job said one time, when God had, I mean, he felt that God had just let him down. Period. He said, Lord, I need a lawyer between me and you. Well, who is that lawyer? That's Jesus, the righteous, the perfect judge, the just judge. Okay? Out of the hand of the angel in the presence of God. The prayers of God's people are like sweet-smelling incense. And by the way, these incenses that they use here could not be used anyplace else. Any other place. No place else. They couldn't take these incenses that they used in this service and use it anyplace else. It's only to be used there. There's no salvation outside. You're not going to, I don't care who you are, who you think you are. You cannot pray to God outside the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other way for you to come to God. You can't make your own rules. There's only one way of salvation. And that's by the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't care how good you think you are, or how wonderful, or whatever, or what means. Charles Hayes Russell's not going to do you one bit of good, or Joseph Smith, or any of these cults that we read out here in the world today. There's only one way, one mediator between man and God, and that's Jesus Christ, our real Lord. Okay? And 8 and verse 5. Mine is 5a here. Kai. Elathan.
Elathan.
Ho.
Ho.
Angelos.
Angelos.
Tone.
Tone.
Libanon Tone.
Libanon Tone.
Kai.
Kai.
Egemisen.
Egemisen.
Alton.
Alton.
Ek. Et tu,
tu,
eros,
eros,
tu,
tu,
diastes, terreno,
terreos,
terreos,
terreos, terreos,
kai,
kai,
Evelyn,
Evelyn,
ace,
ace,
pain,
pain,
gain,
gain,
kai,
kai,
again on tone,
again on tone,
rontai,
rontai,
kai,
kai,
bone,
bone,
kai,
kai,
astrape,
astrape,
kai,
kai,
seismos,
seismos.
All right, well, there's some terms in here that come from Greek right into English. We're going to look at some of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he has taken the angel, the sister. He has taken it. All right, that's perfect tense. He has taken the sister, and he has filled it out of the fire of the sacrificial altar. Look at the word. Have you ever heard of the word pyromaniac? What is that?
Fire.
Somebody that's a firebug. All right. That's the word. It comes from the Greek word pyros. All right? Right here it is, pyros. The word pyri. How many of you ever used to play marbles?
Mm-hmm.
A pyri was a clear marble. Looked clear like the flame of fire, okay? That's what it meant. Of the fire of the sacrificial altar. And he threw unto the earth. He threw this fire unto the earth. And it says, and they became thunders. How many of you ever heard of a brontosaurus? This is where the word brontosaurus comes from, and right out of this word. A great big thundering animal. It thunders when it walks. All right? Or it hollers. It makes a voice that'll just thunder. And that's what the word thunder here means. It means a far-reaching thunder, a shaking thunder. Well, I'll tell you what. 30 years ago, when I tried to describe the word thunder, I didn't have anything. But how many of you ever heard of these low-rider cars, you know? And you just hear boom, 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 boom. Voices are shaking and everything else. That's what we're talking about here. Thunder. These big subwoofers. This is a sound that's going out to the heaven and the earth. Thunder. 500 watts. 1,000 watts or whatever. It's a million watts. Because it's going from one end of the universe to the other. These thunders. And then it says, and phoné. We get a word phonograph from this word. And sounds. The word phoné there can even mean voices. All right, voices. We've been many times as translating voices. Voices are sounds and lightnings. How many of you ever seen a shooting star? It leaves a trail of light behind it. A trail of light. That's what this word means. A trail of light. Lightnings. How many of you ever seen, been real close to lightning?
Okay.
Huh? Real close? I got too close one time. Real close. I was up in Nevada, there was a hot tub out there, and I'd go out there, and when I first moved to Nevada, I'd go out there every night and take baths, because I had to run water in my house, didn't have a well. So this well out there, a hot well, it had 105-degree water out there coming out there, and it was just free for the taking. So I'd go out there, and I'd take a bath of this thing, sit out there underneath the stars, and enjoy myself. Whether it's the middle of the winter or wherever it was. Anyway, this was about June. I was up there, and I'd been out there for a couple of hours just having a real good time praying and talking to the Lord and everything. And I got my old Jeep pickup, and I started home, which was about 22 miles, I think, from there. I started out there, and my truck was kind of loud. It was a full race engine in it and everything. I shut the engine off. I heard something just rumbling. Couldn't figure out what it was. And I stopped, and it was lightning and thundering around all the mountains, all around me. But it wasn't raining where I was. And I could hear this rumble and thunder. The ground was shaking. That is weird. I got out there and I listened. I put my ear down to the ground like Indians do, you know. Except I didn't have to get my ear to the ground. I mean, it was there. I could hear this. The ground was shaking. It was trembling. I got back back in my truck and started my truck and I started driving on down the road. All of a sudden, here came a great big wall of water. Just like, I mean, a river. This thing was as tall as the ceiling, this water. It came running down through there and it kind of slowed down a little bit. And I drove where I thought the road used to be. I drove for, I think, that river was 2 miles wide. It came down through there out of nowhere. And I drove about a mile into it, and my truck was running. It wouldn't run anymore. Limbs and everything, and it was taking limbs with it, everything. There was 17 times across the road down there, the river, where it ran into this 2 mile wide river. And the ground was just shaking, and lightning started running all over the place. Out there across, just everywhere, lightning was running, and balls, and just, I never saw such a display of light in my life. And I got out of there because I figured my truck was going to float away, and I would be floating away with it. And I didn't want to be there, so I was looking for a high ground. So I went up there, and I just had my overalls on. I didn't have any shoes with me. I had a pair of old hunting boots in the back, so I put them on, no socks. Put them on my feet and started walking through this thing. It was deep, and I was falling down this river. Mud, just almost solid stuff. Rocks rolling like you can't believe. I got out there, finally got through it. Out there on dry ground, and then it started pouring down rain. And I was really muddy. Well, I was getting worse now. Except I had a problem. I was walking down the road. I finally got out of the flood. And I was walking out to the road to get help, to get back home. Because I figured my truck was gone forever. I got out there and lightning struck right in front of me. I mean right in front of me. And I went blind. You heard of snow blindness?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you get a bright enough light right in front of you, you would go blind. Your retina would just shut up. And my retina shut up. And I couldn't see. Dog money. So then I started feeling for the road. What a night!
What'd you do?
And I felt that road and walked on out there. And by the time I got out there, I mean, it was dark. It was dark now. Raining like mad. I got out there to the road, and one of my eyes, I could probably see just a little bit out of one eye. And I waved some people down out there. This Indian out here in the middle of nowhere is waving at somebody, and the guy stopped me. He didn't want to stop for that gun. I am. I'm going to leave my gun back there.
Did you have your long ponytail?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. No shoes? No.
Indian? Well, I tell you what. My shoes were full of mud. How many of you ever sanded your feet to take the calluses off of them?
Yeah.
That mud was in. I had walked 9 miles. With muddy shoes. I had no toenails left. My feet were bleeding. It was terrible. I mean, this was a miserable situation. And I finally got a ride, and the people didn't want to give me a ride. I said, you're not going that way. I said, there's floods up there you can't believe. I said, I haven't been there, but I said, stop your engine and listen. And they stopped, and the ground was shaking. There were boulders out there. This big! Rolling down through there. I got an idea of what I was talking about here. Just a little bit. And the bright lightning that you see, that'll shut your eyes up. I went to the doctor later on, he said, the lightning shut your retinas up, one of them opened back up, but the other one's still not open yet. It was a long time before I had put patch over my eye and everything, and put the medicine in there, and I finally could see halfway normal in 2 or 3 weeks. Yes, brother.
My wife wants to know if you get your Jeep, man.
I went back there the next day. Believe it or not, I got a ride back down there, and my Jeep was standing on stilts.
Stilts.
It had washed the road away, and had worse brush around each wheel of that Jeep, and it was standing up like it was up on jack stands. There was brush and limbs around every wheel, and here this, I mean, you could almost walk underneath that Jeep. It was just, so I went, I just laid down a little bit, reached up there, and straightened out the gas line, and got tore half off of it, and started the thing up, and away we went. But it was like it was almost, I don't know what in the world kept that thing from going some way, except the limbs and stuff underneath. But I was fighting through all that stuff. And that thing with that river was 2 miles wide.
You walked 2 miles.
2 miles. Well, through that, I walked a mile through the river and 9 miles out to the road.
Well, no, I've been all over Nevada. What part of Nevada is this?
Fish Lake Valley. Fish Lake Valley. Northeast of Bishop.
Oh, no,
way, way out there in the refrigerator zone. Coldest place in the nation, almost. I used to talk to my friends on ham radio up in Alaska, and I'd say, how cold is it up there, Ernie or Joe or whatever? And they'd say, 20 below. I said, it's 28 below here. I got your beat, folks. 8 and verse 6. The trumpets are about to sound. This one's real bad stuff right here, but it hasn't gotten bad yet, believe it or not. This is previews of coming attractions. Kai.
Kai.
Poi.
Poi.
Kapta.
Kapta.
Angaloi.
Angaloi.
Poi.
Poi.
Ekontes.
Ekontes.
Haas.
Haas.
Kapta.
Kapta.
Salpigas.
Salpigas.
Hepte Vason.
Hepte
Vason. Aptus.
Aptus.
Hina.
Hina.
Salpisusan. All right. And the seven angels. And the one having the seven trumpets. They prepared themselves in order that they might sound the trumpets. The trumpets are about to be heard. What we have now is this preview of the coming attractions. All of the thunder and all the lightning. And when this angel took and poured this fire out of the sacrificial altar toward the earth. Things started rumbling, shaking, lightnings, thunders, and sounds, great voices. Now they're ready to sound. This is quite a judgment right here. Kai.
Kai.
Kai. Hoi.
Hoi.
Protos.
Protos.
Esau Pisan.
Esau Pisan.
Kai.
Kai.
Aganito.
Aganito.
Kalasa.
Kalasa.
Kai.
Kai.
Here.
Here.
Mami Mana.
Mami Mana.
And.
And.
Haimati.
Haimati.
Kai.
Kai.
Eblete.
Eblete.
Ace.
Ace.
Tame.
Tame.
Game.
Game.
Kai.
Kai.
Toll.
Toll.
Tritone.
Tritone.
Face.
Face.
Gaze.
Gaze.
Katakate. Katakate.
Katakate.
Tie.
Tie.
Toll.
Toll.
Tritone.
Tritone.
Tone.
Tone.
Dendrone.
Dendrone.
Katakate.
Katakate.
Tie.
Tie.
Pos.
Pos.
Cortas.
Cortas.
Floros.
Floros.
Katakate.
Katakate.
There's a lot of words in here that come over from Greek into English. And it says, and the first one, he sounded trumpet. He sounded his trumpet. And then it says, and it became. It became for itself, by the way. This is middle voice. Third person singular, second aorist, indicative middle. This is just like the word where it says, and the word became flesh. Same word. Exactly. Again. And when the trumpet sounded, hail became instantly. Hail. Galaza. Galaza. Hail. Violent rocks. You know what hail is? It's like a little rock falling out of the sky. Is what it is. When I lived in Nevada up there again, going back there, I planted 50 fruit trees. And I had 300 shade trees all around my place. I had 5 acres up there and a whole wall of poplar and pine and oak trees and everything was all around my place. And in the middle, I had 50 fruit trees. And one, I think it was about late August or September, all of my fruit was out there, and I'd go out there every day, and I'd check all of my little trees, and I'd look at the apples here and the pears and all these trees that I had out there. I'd look out there, and I'd say, boy, that stuff is going to really taste good. I'm going to make applesauce, and I'm going to peel apples, and I'm going to take my peaches and my pears, and I'm going to can them and freeze them and everything. And all of a sudden, one day, I woke up in the morning, and I mean my place was shaking. It was blowing about 70 miles an hour. All my little trees were just blowing all over the place. And they started hailing. I looked out there, and it looked like it was snowing green. tail was coming out about this big, and it was just knocking the leaves off those trees that looked like green snow. Just everywhere. The ground was just, I mean, it was green. The trees, I had a lot of trees, and it was just defoliating those trees. And I grabbed my old tarn hat from when I roughnecked, threw it over my coat, and I grabbed buckets, and I went out there to start taking these fruit off. And it looked like the fruit, the apples on those trees looked like they had been shot with a shotgun. They were just busted all to pieces, but I saved them. I went about to let my fruit get spoiled, so I made applesauce and pear sauce and that thing all together. But it looked like you had shot it. I can understand the type of hail. It was coming down with these 70-mile-an-hour winds, and it was just like a shotgun. This ripping. I mean, I had beautiful green trees that were nothing but limbs. In minutes. And the ground was not white with snow around where the trees were. It was green. Little bitty pieces of green leaves all over, and the limbs busted off. Everything. It was just like it just devastated. And when I saw that, the next thing I thought about was the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, right? 8 and verse 7. Revelation 8 and verse 7. And the first one, he sounded, and it became hail and fire. Hail and fire. Hail is ice. And fire. What part do you think the fire is? When you get the heavens all shook up there, what happens? All of the winds produce what?
Friction.
And electricity. That's fire. Electricity is fire. Electricity is strong fire. I started playing around with my antennas up there, and the winds would blow and blow dust. And Brother King, you better pay attention. He just became a ham operator the other day. I had a 1,000-foot wire out there that I used for an antenna. I got up one morning, and the wind was blowing. And I heard this. I said, where in the world is that sound coming from? I went back over and looked by my antenna tuner, and fire was shooting that far. Fire from the friction, from the static electricity in the air that my antenna was picking up. Fire was going. You could run the electricity in that whole house over there. Fire. Fire and hail. Where does it come from? How does it come? It's natural things that we see. Fire and hail. Having been mixed with blood. I'm going to tell you something. It looked like I had been shot with a shotgun just about after I went out there. I had my hat on, and I threw my clothes on, my gloves. I was grabbing all this fruit and everything else, but I had skins and bruises and blood all over, bloody places all over me. Those hailstones were hitting me. We're going to find out that some of these hailstones are 100 pounds of these. I wouldn't have gone out there with a 100-pound hailstone.
I hope not.
Now, I saw what this size hailstone with 70-mile-an-hour winds could do to my place. I mean, you should have heard it. I lived in a mobile home.
Oh,
have you ever been in a mobile home in a rainstorm?
Oh, man. You had a mobile home left?
I had me. It shook up, it busted up everything on that place. Cars around there had dents all in them, windows.